Welcome to the ultimate crowdsourced personal finance show. This is your Friday Roundup.
You're listening to Choose FI Radio. The blueprint for financial independence lives here. If you're looking to unlock the secrets to financial independence and early retirement, you're in the right place. Stay tuned and join a community of like-minded people who are getting off the hamster wheel and taking control of their lives in the pursuit of financial independence. Choose FI, your home for financial independence online.
Congratulations, you have made it to the weekend, and this is your Friday Roundup. Super excited to chat with you guys today and talk about my favorite topic, financial independence. And to help me with this, I have my co-host Brad here with me today. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, Jonathan, I am doing very well. Yeah, everything's going well over here. I'm excited to chat about the episode on Monday with Miles. I think that was a fascinating one. And yeah, I think we just have a lot to go over today. So this should be a fun episode for sure.
No kidding. This is going to be absolutely packed full of information. One of the reasons that I'm excited about it is that I'm so prepared for it. This past week is the first week that I have started incorporating a morning routine. And I've been seeing this all over the place, and it's talking about world-class performers and people that are at the peak of their game have really adopted a morning routine into their daily life. And I thought, what would that look like for me in the particular space of life that I'm in right now? And my job currently is to focus on producing an awesome show for you guys twice a week on Mondays and Fridays. And the quality of the show is directly related to how much time and effort Brad and I put into preparing for it. And so with that in mind, Brad, you know, I told you maybe in passing, but I'd love to give you a little bit more information about it. I have started incorporating the library into my morning routine.
Wow, Jonathan, that's cool. Obviously, we are huge friends of the library here at Choose FI, but I didn't know morning is somewhat surprising. I don't think our library opens that early. So I'm curious to obviously, A, tell me more. What time do you get there? What does this look like? Do you just sit in the middle of the library, grab a chair? What, you know, tell me more.
I love it. You know, actually, I tried to go to the library at 9 a.m. and they were closed. So I sat in the parking lot the first time doing my prep. But once I found out that they consistently open at 10 a.m., you know, during weekdays, then I readjusted my schedule. So basically, I wake up at 6, I get my mindfulness and exercise routine all built in into that first 2-hour window, have breakfast with my wife and son. And then by that point, I prep and I go to the library. I get to the library at 10 a.m. and I do show prep from 10 to roughly 12 or 1, somewhere in that range. And that basically is baked into my day 4 days out of the week solid. And then I schedule the rest of my day out from there. But by having that consistency, that time set aside, I'm finding that my productivity is just going through the roof.
Wow, that is really cool. So you're really sitting down and locking out specific hours for, let's say, show prep or, I don't know, email or something like that. Like, is that how you're structuring your time?
Exactly. So by, first of all, getting that exercise component done early in the morning in a dedicated spot, going to the library with all of that done, all of those kind of things that are competing for your attention, I shoulda, you know, woulda, coulda, shoulda type stuff is out of the way. And then from 10 to 1 or 2, I'm just locking in on reading the book for a guest that maybe we have coming up, going through all of the different comments and threads from our Facebook group and figuring out what is going to be good content for this next week's show, taking the time to organize topics and think about what do we really want to try to cover this week, going through our email and making sure that I respond to all the emails that maybe have just been piling up over the last couple of weeks. But I do it in a very batch process manner. I mean, and you can tell, I'm sure you've been able to see from your end that things are getting done.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, we use an email software called Help Scout, to everyone out there listening to this. And yeah, we actually assign different emails to me or Jonathan, basically. And yeah, Jonathan, your inbox is normally 60 to 100 emails, but of late it's been under 20, which is amazing. So yeah, I mean, it is very, I logged in the other day and I'm like, what on earth is he doing? This is great.
It's really cool. And I know that you are actually paying for a co-working space. So I'm sitting in their library thinking, I've really figured this thing out. Like, I've got Brad on this one.
Well, I actually just canceled my co-working space about a week ago, which is funny. So
I will see you at the library then.
Yeah. I need to. It's funny because I was thinking that this morning. I had no idea we were going to talk about this on the podcast, frankly. But I was just thinking that I really do need somewhere to go. I mean, if it's, I don't know, a Panera or really the library would be the best option. It's just for some reason it didn't even cross my mind. But obviously it's quiet, there's Wi-Fi, and it's a nice, comfortable place and a good environment. So yeah, I'm going to check that out just because being at home, it's just there are too many distractions. I try to be good, but it's easy to sit up here and then, oh, I'm going to go downstairs and get a snack or even do something productive like exercise for 15 minutes. But, you know, that takes up time. And we've found, you and I, Jonathan, that batch processing helps just so much that I think I mentioned this maybe about a month or two on the podcast that Laura had this challenge for me, which is basically just take a timer, set it for an hour, do as many email responses as you possibly can. And make that the 1 hour you do email that day. I swear I got more done in the 2 days. So I did it 2 days in a row. I got my inbox down to zero. It was like the most liberating, freeing feeling as opposed to the normal, basically overwhelm of email. There's just always this email in the background. That's like one of these things we love, obviously, that we get so many emails from the community. But we just cleared them out and we have another 100 sitting in the inbox now. And it is mentally difficult to have that kind of, you know, weighing over you. So just dedicating that time and knocking things out. And this transcends email, obviously. Jonathan's talking about preparing for the show, and that's a great idea. So Jonathan, I'm curious, what does it actually look like in the hours you're at the library? Where do you sit? Do you walk around?
So when I got there, I realized that they actually have a couple individual working spaces with a door that you can close. Now, you're limited to a 2 hour limit on those, you know, especially if there's somebody that's waiting for it after you. But if you get there right when the library opens, you have your choice of one. You won't be competing for it. If you get there at 11, yeah, maybe, maybe not. So I go in there and I grab that right away. And I realize that there are library regulars. Now, this is very interesting to me because I know why I'm at the library Monday through Friday. I have a very intentional purpose for being there. This is now going to be part of my lifestyle going forward. And I love it. I feel like I've figured out a secret to the universe. But there's these other people that are there every single day as well. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, what is your story? What is your story? And that is wildly fascinating to me, especially as I see these same characters over and over again at my local library. But anyways, I get there, I lock down that 2 hours of space. I use the first hour to basically tackle emails and batch process. Then I go into show prep. And then if at that point, if I run out of room and I feel like I need to leave it to give it up to somebody else, then I move out to the common area, which there's still tons of tables, plenty of private places. You know, then I can kind of do a little bit of stuff that requires less mental focus.
Gotcha. Okay, that makes sense. So are you, with all these regulars, are you stealing someone's conference room?
Well, there's only two. They have two individual working spaces. So you basically have a cubicle and a chair there. You can just sit down, grab it. You can close the door. Total privacy. It's your sound cube, man. I mean, I'm telling you, this is what you've been looking for your entire life. I promise you, you'll love it. But you can only have it for 2 hours. So you got to make total use of those 2 hours.
Gotcha, gotcha, gotcha. That's funny. And just real quick, what does your exercise look like in the morning?
So I do my pull-ups. I do dips. I do the kettlebell swings. I do 50 push-ups. I do have some other stuff, but I try to just keep it pretty focused on those four exercises for now. It's kind of a total body workout, but it's very simple. It doesn't require a lot of, you know, machinery or expensive equipment. I think in the afternoon, I'm going to move back and I'm going to start doing a run or a jog and separate it out. So you kind of have two different touch points for exercise throughout the week. And I'm glad you brought this up because this actually talks directly about our skinny waist fat wallet challenge. And one of the things to me that's been so interesting is that the FI community is so focused on life optimization, so focused on tying health and wealth. And when you add that, you add the extra piece of community to this and what community can actually add to this puzzle, you realize that when the people that you're surrounding yourself are all also interested in health and wealth, your results are exponentially increased.
Yeah, no, I hear you. What do you expect this skinny waist fat wallet thing to look like? Because, you know, I'm a little unclear, so hopefully you can tell the audience more.
Yeah, so I'm basically hoping to leverage the power of having a community of people that are focused on stuff so you can get that one idea from someone else that's really latched onto something. Maybe they just have this one thing that they're just crushing it and they're 10Xing their results by doing this one thing and you had never even considered before. If we have 10,000 people plus that are sharing their ideas for how to biohack the system over a 12-week period of time, this could be the best year of your life from a health and wellness perspective. So what I thought we could do is post a thread once a week. So the first week, and it'll be the thread that just went out yesterday. We said, we'll say, what are your goals for the next 12 weeks? What would you like to see accomplished? And we'll just keep it on this one thread so it's not taking up everything else. And then underneath that, everybody can post either their ideas or their questions, and then we can feed off of that. But that can be your inspiration for the entire week. And you figure out, what do I want to do for this week? What one change? And it kind of riffs off what you kind of incorporated with the Friday post, talking about what's the one thing overall. But this will be very focused on fitness. And then after that, you implement that. And the next week, you talk about what you tried and what you got hung up on. And then maybe we can troubleshoot that as a group and figure it out. And just by knowing that there is a group of people, and literally 10,000 plus people that are interested in your progress and maybe have something to add to the conversation, how empowering and motivating is that? And if you were to actually stick with these sorts of health and wellness changes for a 12-week period of time, how could you not end up in a better place?
It sounds like a slam dunk to me. That's really cool. So should we set up a short code for people to get to that?
Oh, I like it. Let's see.
ChooseFI.com/skinny.
I'm good with it, man. Yeah. So ChooseFI.com/skinny. I'll set that code up. So that'll take you directly to the first weekly thread where we set it up for you to announce your goals. And then from there, there will be a new thread each additional week to ask you about your week one, week two, week three, week four updates. And we're going to do this for 12 weeks. On the final week, week 12, we're basically going to be sharing almost as a reflective look back at where we are now and whether or not this program was a success or what would make it better. So yeah, go to choosefi.com/skinny. It'll take you to the specific thread to get started with the Skinny Waist Fat Wallet Challenge 2018. And I suspect that some form of this program will carry on into the future.
All right, awesome. Yeah, that sounds great. So 2018 clearly is the year of health here at ChooseFI. And Jonathan, very cool idea. I love it. Unquestionably, we talk about life optimization, and this is a huge part of it. So it can't just be about money. It has to be about the holistic person. And yeah, health is a huge component of that. So very cool. And I just wanted to give a quick update. We mentioned the Chautauqua that Jonathan and I are going to be speaking at in Greece, actually in October of 2018. And it looks like the tickets, as we're literally recording this on Tuesday, it looks like the tickets may be going for sale today. So hopefully by Friday, there are still some tickets left. We have a short code set up to get to the website at choosefi.com/Greece, G-R-E-E-C-E. That'll take you there. Jonathan and I are speaking the second week, which is October 20th to the 27th. And yeah, it's just a star-studded lineup for both weeks. And more importantly, there are going to be 30-plus people who are in the FI community who you can spend a week with and just have this amazing, immersive experience at this gorgeous, gorgeous place in Greece. So from everything I've heard about the Chautauquas previously, this is a life-changing experience, and I just cannot wait. I'm just so fortunate to be going, period, not less actually speaking there. So the Chautauquas in Greece are the only ones being held in 2018. So if you're looking to go to a week-long Chautauqua, this is it. So yeah, choosefi.com/Greece.
All right, so let's go ahead and take a few minutes, and honestly, a few minutes probably won't do it justice, but let's take some time and talk about the episode this past week with Miles talking about medical tourism. You know, Brad, this is a conversation that I've wanted to have basically since I heard about the topic probably close to 5, maybe even 7 years ago in Tim Ferriss's book. And I'm trying to remember now which one it was, maybe the 4-Hour Work Week, but that was the first place that I ever heard about medical tourism. And honestly, I never knew anybody else that was actually doing this. And to be honest, Tim Ferriss is not the most relatable guy. And I say that as a compliment. Some of the stuff he accomplishes is absolutely incredible, but it doesn't always feel like something that I can do. You know, it feels like it's next level stuff that maybe I aspire to, but it's for world-class performers. It's not for the guy next door. To me, Miles bridged the gap. He basically mapped out a game plan for anybody that is interested in pursuing a more cost-effective way of tackling elective healthcare.
Yeah, this was very cool to hear. No question about it. I had heard the term medical tourism, certainly. I think I'd heard it, like you, in reference to the 4-Hour Work Week. Also, you know, people having medical procedures where they wrap a vacation around it and their recovery time, and you get 2 weeks in Costa Rica or in Thailand or something like that. But like you, I'd never heard anyone who actually did it. So it seemed like this kind of fanciful thing that, sure, that sounds great in theory, but who really has 2 weeks to take out of their lives and fly to Costa Rica for surgery and recovery. But the way that Miles does it, where he is, obviously he lives in a border state and he can just drive a few hours to Mexico. I mean, that is kind of a no-brainer from the way he's describing it.
And I want to start off by saying that we did get a little bit of blowback on this episode.
A little?
Not surprisingly, it was mostly from Dentist. but I wanted to reiterate the point that this was not to say never use your dentist inside the States. You know, Brad, practically speaking, is this going to keep you from going to get your preventative work done at your local dentist?
Absolutely not. And I cannot imagine that one dentist in America will lose one patient basically because of this. So I'm not too terribly worried about the state of our dentists out there. But yeah, we did get, I was frankly surprised how many emails we got from dentists and hygienists across the country basically saying, I love your podcast, but this episode just didn't work for me.
Yeah. And you know, I guess there is a personal aspect to this that it's hard to kind of take one step back from it. But I wanted to say it was interesting to me that it was specifically dentists and hygienists, because obviously that's what the emphasis of the episode was on. But in my mind, the actual dental work was the least relevant part of this. I mean, I know we had a specific example of dental work being done and how you could do it. But in my mind, this was a talk about healthcare and how someone can optimize that and make a choice, a financial choice that's in their best interest based on the resources that they have available to them, namely time and money. If you have both of those, you can leverage those assets together to crush the cost of these elective procedures.
Yeah, and that was what you talked about in the episode, which was making purchasing decisions from a place of power. And when you have these elective purchases, whether they be healthcare or in my case that I talked about it almost a year ago, it was buying a new air conditioner for my house. And that was my perfect world scenario. I think, Jonathan, you said it was either mustard or aluminum foil, which made me sound and feel like an idiot. But
I'm glad it went that way for once.
No, it's not. But yes, it was a multi-$1,000 purchase that, you know, the way that I set this up was, in my perfect world, I would say to the five HVAC companies that I had come in for a quote, I would say to them in one email, hey guys, I need a new unit and I can have it done anytime in the next 4 months. This is the amount I'm willing to pay. And any day, if things are slow or you just want a little bit of extra business, here I am. Just send me an email. That is coming from a position of power and making a purchasing decision from that position of power where I don't need this imminently. This is not a catastrophic or acute issue, like, you know, to go back to the healthcare where Miles was talking about a heart attack or a car accident or something like that. This is elective. So to be able to try to weave that into your life, try to think about ways that you can do that where this is beyond medicine. This is other big purchasing decisions, not mustard or aluminum foil. Obviously, nobody's doing that for a $2 jar of mustard, but something big. Where can you work this in? Just see if that's some way you can get 1% better in your life.
Yeah. And in my mind, this isn't about saving $5, $10, $100, $200. This is about saving thousands and thousands of dollars in a one-off transaction. So, you know, for anybody that was maybe too close to this and took this a little bit personally, separate yourself out from this for a little bit. Imagine that you are at the place where you have to go in and have this procedure done. And it may be elective to everybody else, including an insurance company. It's not really elective to you because you're miserable. And the forecasted cost is $14,000, $26,000. This is going to come out of your pocket. And you decide to leverage creativity, time, money, put all three of those together, do your research, and come up with a plan to get this for $8,000, $6,000. I mean, that is a massive swing in cost. And if you can get equal or better quality by just taking a little bit of time and coming up with a game plan, then you owe it to yourself to at least consider it, look into it. Now, you could reject it, do the cons, if there are any, after you do the research. But it seems like that is something that you should at least consider. And you got to realize that the world is getting smaller. It just is. There's no way of avoiding it. And for the few, the select, you know, the people that have discovered the superpower of FI, you are positioned to be the early adopters and benefit from this information. One, because you have the assets that we talked about earlier. And then two, specifically because you're listening to Choose FI and you're inside this community, you have immediate references that you can trust, immediate people that you can go to and ask them for their experiences. You don't have to go to the shady practitioner that doesn't have the qualifications. You can go to a group of people in one place that have actually done this, have utilized these medical tourism hacks in the specific one in the specific place that you're looking for. And you can ask them for their advice, take their recommendation and save $10,000+. That is a conversation that's worth having. And it goes so far beyond Los Algodones.
Yeah. And like Miles said, do your research. That's a really simple concept. Like Jonathan just alluded to, the world is getting smaller. It's so easy to get information now. So I guess there are 117 dentists in this one little town. And there are Yelp reviews, right? There's Miles telling our community what specific dentist he used, right? I'm sure he'll pop in. I think we had a couple questions on that specifically on the post on ChooseFI with the show notes. And hopefully he'll chime in with his exact dentist. Someone in Arizona or California potentially could go there. And that's kind of neat. This is a small world. We're not saying go to Mexico, go to Costa Rica, go to India, and just find some random medical practitioner and go under the knife, right? Like, that's ludicrous. So, you know, unfortunately, we did have a couple of comments like that from dentists in our community. And, you know, it's kind of sad. Like, clearly, we're not saying just go anywhere and get your medical procedures done because they can be done as well as in the US or wherever. It's do your research. And if you find that you can get a top tier medical practitioner, be it a dentist, a cardiologist, or just a general practitioner, right? Then maybe it's worth considering if monetarily, when you include travel time and expense to get there and such, if it makes sense. To me, that's not unreasonable at all. And this is getting to be a small world. We in the FI community do think differently. Like, that's something that is very cool. So why would we cut this off from being a possibility? So, you know, again, I don't mean to pick on dentists. Love my dentists. We have friends who own a dental practice. So this is not the anti-dentist show, obviously. It's, sorry, the Seinfeld joke of anti-dentite just popped into my head.
But it was so well-timed. I was going to try and beat you to it, but I was waiting for a pause.
We are not anti-dentites here. But I mean, clearly, if we were talking about cardiologists, we would have gotten 10 emails from cardiologists who said, oh, no, you can't get heart procedures done anywhere but in the U.S., right? Like, unfortunately, we delude ourselves, right? Like, when our own self-interest is it hard? And that's something like intellectual honesty is really important. And Jonathan, you and I talked about this offline, and you said yourself, if somebody or we were, quote, attacking pharmacists in your old life, you would have reflexively stuck up for pharmacists without even really thinking about the merits, the full merits of what we're saying, because that's just a reflexive thing. But I think, like, what I've been trying over the last year is to kind of subtly influence people to really change the way you think. And that is the easiest way to have a successful life. And this type of intellectual honesty is really important. Listen, it stinks that this happened to be an example about dentists, but it, you know, again, it could have been about cardiologists or podiatrists or ophthalmologists. It, you know, who cares, right? Like, it's just an example, but you can't get bent out of shape about that. Clearly, no dentist in America is going out of business because Miles talked about it on ChooseFI. So you got to put that kind of stuff aside and see the bigger issue here. This is about how do we move forward as a community, being intelligent and considering all our options. And I think that's a very, very empowering note.
Brad, I love that you mentioned all the people that we didn't tick off with this episode, because I'm going to play a voicemail to intentionally do that. Just poke the bear just a little bit.
Hi, guys. I just wanted to give you a voicemail to let you know that was an excellent episode on the medical tourism. As an American expat that's lived overseas for the past 10 years, I can attest to the high-quality, affordable care that you can receive. I've gotten $300 MRIs in Moscow. My daughter went to the emergency room in Estonia, and the total bill was $80, including medication. I've gotten seen by doctors in Singapore, $30, 30 minutes, I'm out the door. I've had dental work done in Portugal, $50 for cleaning and exam, $40 to have a filling put in. Just excellent information, and I'm glad to see that you're continuing with the high-quality content of this show. Thanks.
Yeah, I love that. And I think what you see is that this is a framework for looking at life and looking at a big piece of life. I mean, Miles even coined the phrase MI for medical independence, right, Brad?
Yeah, he did. I like that. And yeah, how Drew mentioned MRIs. Actually, we got an email from Deanna from our community who said she wanted to respond to where Miles said that the cheapest MRI he found in the U.S. was $3,300. She actually found one for $550 in her local area in, it looks like, Cleveland. And she said, we have found an imaging center here in Ohio called Advantage Diagnostics, who has super low prices for diagnostic tests. While they do accept insurance, they also publish self-pay rates. And she actually sent me the attachment. And she said, tell Miles to come to balmy Cleveland next time he needs an MRI. So yeah, it's cool. I mean, I suspect there are many of these self-pay options throughout the U.S. where we can do medical tourism and not leave the U.S., right? Which is pretty neat. If I need an MRI and with my, quote, insurance, right, as I mentioned, Jonathan, we have Liberty HealthShare, which is not traditional insurance. It might actually be to my advantage to fly to Cleveland, say hello to Deanna, and go get an MRI in Cleveland, which is just something that I never would have considered before in my old life. But now I do have to consider that. So it's just getting all this information and aggregating it. And now we know, okay, where we can go for dental care if you had some major catastrophic issue. Deanna's got Advantage Diagnostics up there in Cleveland. So, you know, cool stuff. And I suspect we're going to get dozens of other Facebook posts or emails about the local place in their area that has self-pay rates that are very reasonable as well.
Well, Brad, what you're saying is actually an opportunity. I think that we are uniquely positioned to offer this service to our community by, like you said, aggregating this data into some sort of Excel sheet. And I wonder if someone in our community would be willing to actually manage the Excel sheet and update it with all the new different local hacks that you can use for different places. But if we could have an Excel sheet with the type of service, cardiology, MRI, and we could start aggregating this data from people's unique experiences, maybe that's yet another resource that we could offer the community and put it in the vault.
Yeah, that's a great idea for the vault. I love that. And I almost wonder if there is any interplay here with these health share companies or ministries, whatever they're called, where we could potentially aggregate all this information and somehow save money for the entire network. If it's to my benefit and the network's benefit for me to fly to Cleveland to get an MRI instead of getting a $5,000 MRI here in Richmond, I would be willing to do that potentially. So it's very interesting when you're actually cognizant of the price of healthcare as opposed to it just being, oh, that's part of my deductible, or, oh, I just have a small copay, right? Like maybe that's why all these prices have gotten so astronomical, because people are so separated from what the actual cost is. And it's really kind of absurd if you think about it.
But I think the reason what's to blame for that is we've started replacing healthcare with health insurance. There's this massive confusion about the difference between the two. And it does. It's directly related to the separation between the patient and the service. There's now five middlemen in between that process that just jacks it up all along the way. And I think that what you and I have landed on with the health share has been the good medium for us personally, but it may not be the final answer. I can't tell you, Brad, how many people I've had come up to me over the last 6 months asking us if we in some way wanted to be a part of starting a new type of health share for the FI community. And I can tell you that it's such a train wreck out there in society with just this confusion between health insurance and healthcare that I don't want to touch it with a 10-foot pole. But I'm slowly getting drawn to it as I increasingly start to think about how can you have an impact on the world? And if I can't impact the world, how can I at least help make this a better place for our community?
Yeah, Jonathan, it's certainly worth looking into. And yeah, I'm not sure if anything will ever come from that. But could you possibly ask for a better community to come together and create a health share, which is what insurance really should be, right? It's people banding together as a community to share medical bills so you're not overly burdened catastrophically if one particular person has an issue, right? So, I mean, people in the FI community are smart. They have money. They're willing to travel. They're willing to think outside the box. They're probably healthier than average. I'm just guessing based on my own anecdotal experience. So it sounds kind of far-fetched, but who knows, right?
Yeah, it could happen. And I'm actually taking a call tomorrow. I'm talking with Kevin, and I got this email from him about a week ago. And he says, I'm a recent convert to the FI movement. I actually found your podcast between Christmas and New Year's and listening to your most recent podcast right now All the information you have brought together makes perfect sense to me, and I love listening to you and your guest. In listening to all the episodes and reading some of the different blogs you have linked to, it sounds like healthcare and insurance are big issues that the FI community has struggled to come up with a good answer for. I'm an analytics developer, data analyst, and I've worked extensively in the healthcare industry. I have dealt with all aspects of it, from ambulatory surgery centers to primary care and specialty clinics, community and critical access hospitals, health systems, and academic teaching hospitals. I've also been involved in health insurance from all sides as a consumer, the medical billing community, and the insurance company view. Through all of this, I've learned about the complexity involved, as well as many of the gaps and areas where it can be improved. And I think I have come up with an idea for an insurance company and policies that will address many of these issues and is more closely aligned to the interest of the FI community. I've run my thoughts past a number of people inside and outside of the industry and have received mostly positive feedback and encouragement about my ideas. Some of the highlights include reduced costs by sharing some features of organizations like Liberty and MediShare, reduced overheads by having a single shared risk pool, think effectively of self-insuring as a group, guaranteed full pay for medical providers at negotiated rates, and more. I mean, the list goes on. He says, if I've caught your attention, I would love to share the details with you and get your help to find out if there's enough interest in our community to support this. So I reached back out to him and I said, to be honest with you, I'm really conflicted about getting involved with this just because I know what a minefield it is, but you had me at hello. So let's go ahead and hop on the phone. So we're going to be hopping on a call tomorrow, and I look forward to hearing a little bit more about this. And this is so interesting because even at Camp Phi, I had Joel from Phi 180 come over and pitch me on this exact same idea. So people are starting to think this way. Is there a smarter way to do this? And I got to say, of all the ideas that are out there right now, Liberty and the other reflective health shares, they most closely align with kind of this overall concept. It puts you closer to the cost, but there are flaws with these different programs. And maybe there's something that's even better. And I don't know if this is even possible, but why not look, right?
Yeah, why not look indeed? I like that. And yeah, I just wanted to go back to Miles and actually his story. And it's really fascinating, almost to the point where if I didn't know he was legitimate, I would think it sounded like something somebody in Hollywood made up. It's almost amazing when you think about it. He was an entrepreneur from the very first, where he said he had five paper routes and he sold companies. He worked for Amgen and had this stock options bonanza. He was part of the dot-com boom, the real estate boom, and he had paid off most of them before the crash and didn't get wiped out. He got into Bitcoin early. I mean, it's just all these crazy, crazy things. And he had one of the most interesting quotes, and I want to read it as closely verbatim as I can. And he basically said, I'm able to sniff out an opportunity. I've been willing to be the guy to get off the couch and to get out there and get my passport, jump on a plane and go somewhere and see life for what it is and be open and like a sponge, be willing to see opportunity and to make decisions based on very intense analytical research, but research that would only come from my own personal experience. And to me, that was one of those kind of lightning bolt quotes where that really ties into a ton of themes that we've talked about here at Choose a FI over the last 100 plus episodes and taking action. I mean, clearly, Miles is not someone who's sitting on a couch doing nothing, just taking in information, right? He's taking in tons of information, but he's taking action, getting off that couch, jumping on airplanes if he needs to, which, you know, could be a metaphor, but it might be real in his case, you know, literally leaving Australia and jumping on an airplane and exploring and going to the US and figuring out what options he had. It's that talent stack that I'm always talking about where he said, this is research that would only come from my own personal experience. And what I kind of drew from that was saying he has this personal experience of all this different information and all these different life experiences that he's taken in. And by synthesizing those and putting them together, he's able to see uniquely for him. He's not saying he's the worldwide expert on sniffing out opportunities. He's saying for him that he's able to take these experiences and all these different knowledge bases and mental models and putting them together and create something great. And that's just really, really cool to me. He's open to new opportunities. We say you cannot be closed off. You can't be closed-minded. You have to just expand your horizons, even if that means it's uncomfortable. The medical tourism for dentists or cardiologists, as we talked about jokingly before, it might be uncomfortable, but you have to open your mind to new opportunities. So to me, that's what it is all about. It's about learning, having that talent stack, just trying to get better, looking for new experiences, and be willing to fail. Miles said there were instances where he missed out on things because he wasn't potentially open to them, but maybe that's fine in the grand scheme of things. He's had so many hits, so many successes, but maybe he just wasn't ready. Maybe that talent stack wasn't ready for that opportunity at that point, but you just learn and you grow from it. And he learned something from those opportunities that he passed on. So to me, that's not some catastrophic, oh no, I can never get over it. It's okay. That's now part of my mental model for moving forward. And that's the key to success.
And you know, what struck me about Miles is that the FI tent just got a little bit bigger when he joined our community. You know, you realize that. So there were this kind of, there's this core group that maybe were the early adopters to FI and have been kind of following this information, but FI is going a little bit more mainstream and it covers a lot more paths than maybe were initially indicated by the engineers, extreme frugalists who live for less than $20,000 a year and crush the game in 5 years. And now the tent is broadening to people that have beaten the ultimate equation, right? People that at this point in time never have to work for money again. Not to say they don't work. Most of us do some form of work, but the choice is optional. And he kept landing on this. Do you realize how much emphasis he put on this? I don't have to work anymore. I still do because I get passionate about this stuff. And what's so interesting, Brad, is that that's where I am, except, you know, I do still have to work for money, but work does not feel like a chore. I've kind of landed in the sweet spot where what I do is my ultimate passion. It overlaps with my hobby. It overlaps with kind of what I would do with my free time. And so in my own case, I've hit that same level of peace long before I reached financial independence. And that's what I want for everybody listening to this, is to slowly change your mindset just a little bit at a time so you reach financial independence, but you hit happiness all along the way.
That's brilliant, Jonathan. And that clearly is, that's the goal, to find what you want out of life. It's amazing for you that you did find it before FI, right? And this was a fairly rapid journey for you, right? If you're completely honest, this was amazing. Yeah. When you think about it.
Yeah. And who would have thought it didn't involve, you know, a six-figure career in pharmacy with no debt moving forward? I mean, my path was pretty mapped out once I was debt-free and I had that, you know, I had that six-figure income. That kind of sets itself when you maintain that 50% savings rate. The easy money would have been on that being the bet. But just because I decided to take the time and focus on my passion with the operating from a place of financial strength by not having any debt, earning enough to at least cover my bills and 1 to 2 years of expenses saved up. I mean, really, it adds a lot more flexibility to the puzzle.
Yeah. And it wasn't just luck. You made a concerted effort to pay off those loans. You would not have been able to pursue this FFLC and working on Choose a Five full time if you hadn't paid off those loans, because obviously you wouldn't be in a financial position where you can do it. But you paid off your loans, you paid off your car, you cut your life expenses to the bone. That was a position that you could take then to pursue this amazing opportunity for your true passion in life. And Jonathan, you were on this glide path. You had paid off your loans. You had a fantastic salary and you would have reached FI traditionally in probably, I don't know, 7 years, 5 to 10 years, let's say. That was fantastic. But because you opened yourself up, and this reminds me of a quote that Miles said, which is, opportunities seem to come towards me without me expecting them to. That is really a kind of cool mindset if you really dive into it, which is he's opening himself up to serendipity and to luck and to, again, that talent stack that he has built up. He is opening himself up to the world providing him with these opportunities. That is a cool position to be in, where you can let fortune take you. Somebody might have a conversation and see this amazing opportunity, but say, oh no, I'm in debt. I could never pursue that. I couldn't jump on an airplane to the United States if I lived in Australia and pursue that. But Miles could. And Jonathan, you could pursue FFLC with Choose FI because you had gotten all your ducks in a row. You had paid off $168,000 in student loan debt. You had paid off your car. You'd done all these things that I just mentioned. So this opportunity came towards you without you expecting it to, but it was there and you were able to jump on it. And that is a position of power.
And it's not unique to me. It's what you see over and over again with people in our community that have positioned themselves for opportunity by increasing their savings rate, by focusing on the expenses that add value, by being more intentional with their life. And so that is ultimately what we see over and over again. I love sharing the stories. I think it's not just your story. It's your story and your path is cemented by other people's experiences, which is why it's so powerful to highlight how connected this community actually is. And to illustrate the power of community, I want to play a voicemail for you that I got from Stephanie.
Hey, Brad and Jonathan. My name is Stephanie. As usual, I listened to your podcast on my morning commute into work yesterday on Christmas. I work as an oncology nurse and am also mother to my 3-year-old son, Benjamin, who was born with developmental delays and special needs. This past August, I felt completely suffocated by our debt and had anxiety knowing I did not have a complete grasp on our financial picture. Upon finding the FI community, though, and specifically your podcast, it's been literally life-changing, as is frequently mentioned by other guests on the show. First and foremost was to get on board with actively budgeting. This has become the bread and butter of our financial clarity and has alleviated so much stress. Since August, I finished paying off my school loans, finally, after 10 years, paying off $11,000 in 4 months, in part thanks to my side hustle, which gained more traction once I became motivated by the pillars of FI. Underneath all of this, though, is my ultimate plan to secure financial independence for our son Benjamin and his future. Next, we will be revisiting the new 529 rules and possibly switching his money over to what is called an ABLE account for those with disabilities. I might not have learned about this option had it not been for your show and the Facebook group. I also plan on hacking our cable bill next month when our contract with Comcast ends. And lastly, we plan on getting set up with personal capital as well. We still have a ways to go for our debt pay down, but as we continue to make marginal gains in all areas, I know we will get there. Thank you, Brad and Jonathan, for your encouragement and enthusiasm. You make FI feel approachable, and I truly feel no matter where you are in the journey, there is great value in every episode, whether you are just starting out like me or a tried and true veteran. Thank you again, and Happy New Year to you both.
Stephanie, that's amazing. Happy New Year to you. Thank you for the voicemail. Congratulations to you and Benjamin and your family. And yeah, I mean, that is just an incredible amount of action that you've taken in just such a short time. I mean, geez, paid off student loans, $11,000 in 4 months. You have a side hustle. You went to the Facebook group to potentially learn about this, the new 529 rules and how it can impact your son. Just a sincere thank you for the kind words where you said, we make FI feel approachable. And I think that's really what Jonathan and I are trying to do here twice a week, which is just make this a conversation and make it a community feeling where none of us are preaching from on high. There's no one path to this. It's just a journey that we can all take. And like you said, those marginal gains, you just try to get a little bit better, a little bit smarter, make better decisions, and just be happier and live a better life. And that's something we can all get behind. So again, Stephanie, thank you.
And you see that, Brad. I mean, it's that you end up modeling the people that you spend the most time with. You end up kind of following their past, learning your hacks from them. And so in most cases, that ends up being the 5 kids that you grew up with in your neighborhood, maybe the friends that you made in high school or college, and maybe 1 or 2 coworkers. And that generally is the limits of your social circle. But in our case, you have the opportunity. They don't need to be in your zip code anymore. They can be people that share this common interest because you are simply willing to join a private Facebook group, right? And now you're getting all of these different ideas, and who you're modeling your behavior and your actions after radically changes overnight because you don't just see what they're doing, but you also get to benefit from the results of what they did. And that is a powerful 2-for-1 combo. And I got one more voicemail that I wanted to play. And this is for the people that maybe are thinking to themselves, wow, this sounds really good, but I'm definitely going to be in my job for significantly longer, 5 to 10 years. And this would be cool if I could work remotely, but I don't know if that's ever going to be an option for me. And it comes down to whether or not you're indispensable for your company. And to this, I have a voicemail that I want to play from Jesse.
Hey guys, it's Jesse from North Carolina. I wanted to call in today to talk about the importance of being indispensable in your job. So I know there's a lot of talk in the FIRE community about investing in yourself, but I really think that's a necessary but not sufficient approach. So the reality is, unless you become indispensable in your job, you're still going to have limitations. And investing in yourself and learning new skills certainly helps lead to being indispensable, but there's also a lot of other factors that contribute to this, like personality, motivation, attitude. We were able to move away from DC to the Raleigh-Durham area because both my wife and I were considered indispensable, and so our employers were willing to approve our request to work largely remotely, and they wanted to work with us, and they didn't want us to leave. And we were certainly very happy in our jobs, and we're trying to work with them too. So we were able to find a win-win situation. But for those working on FIRE in a traditional W-2 situation, I can't think of a more important hack to getting ahead. This can lead to raises, scheduling flexibilities, promotions, autonomy, respect. So anyways, thanks for putting out the show. It's just phenomenal, and can't wait to hear what you guys come up with next.
That be indispensable is something that we haven't talked about. I don't even think we've mentioned it, Brad, and it's so powerful. I realized that in my entire time as a pharmacist, although I was good at my job, clearly I was totally dispensable and interchangeable.
Yeah, I think most of us are. And this reminds me of the book by Cal Newport, which is called So Good They Can't Ignore You, Why Skills Trump Passion in the Quest for Work You Love. That's a book I've been meaning to read for quite some time. And when Jesse mentioned this indispensable thought process, that book immediately jumped to mind. And yeah, I mean, how many of us truly are indispensable?
I doubt very many of us are. I had to work through the double negatives there to make sure I said that right. But it's definitely something to aspire to and figure out whether or not you can get to that place. If you can, you hold all the cards in negotiation. You really do. You get to negotiate life on your terms. And if you don't, maybe it's time to think about how to reposition yourself to be indispensable. I would say that for Choose FI, right now, I'm pretty indispensable.
I agree.
You are too, buddy. It requires two. All right. You know, I think there's a lot of topics here and there's so much more that we can cover, but those overall themes, broaden your mind. Think about the world as a giant playground that you have time, you have money, you have creativity, and you have a community that you can lean on to provide you good information. That is powerful, especially when you realize how to leverage that to save yourself tens of thousands of dollars. And maybe in some cases, especially if you're coming from an assets under management world, millions of dollars over the course of your financial investing career. And talking about leveraging the power of this community, I have a voicemail that I want to play from Millionaire Educator talking about what to do if you have horrible investment options in your 403B. And this is in response to a voicemail that we got from Kimberly. She says, "Hi, Brad and Jonathan. I enjoy your podcast and was just about to request one on teacher plans, 403Bs and 457s, when I saw your podcast and posted the following follow-up question. My husband is a teacher. And we have been taking advantage of both accounts. That seems great, except I recently read the New York Times series on bad 457, 403B plans. And I think we are unfortunately in one of those. I have tried figuring out the fees and found out they are not easily discoverable. When I asked, the response I got from the CFP was that my husband's retirement accounts are in annuities and cost more because we have an advisor helping us with them. When I pressed him on the expenses, he said that the ongoing annual expenses on each account is roughly 2%. Ouch, I'm crying for you. Do you have tips on what we should do to either get out of this pickle or come up with a better plan? I'd be grateful for any guidance you guys have, or if you think Millionaire Educator would be interested in tackling it, that'd be great as well." Millionaire Educator was interested in giving his feedback on this. So when I sent it over to him, he got back to us with a quick response, which I'm going to go and play for you now.
This is the Millionaire Educator calling in to talk about what to do when you have very bad 403B or 457 offerings at your job. This is often the case of teachers who get stuck with plans that use insurance products. Insurance products are famous for being very expensive. These plans usually use variable annuities or equity index annuities. And let me talk about variable annuities first. They're bad generally for three reasons. High expenses, the average is 2.25%, which as compared to the VTSAX at 4 basis points, that's a ratio of 56 to 1. And I would ask, would you pay $56 for something you can buy for $1? Heck no. Many times these variable annuities have load fees, which means you have to pay 5% to get in. So basically they take 5% of your money. And another very negative thing you can find in a variable annuity is surrender charges, which means if you decide you want to move your money from company A to company B, they're going to skim your account for 5%. Okay. But this is the type of plan most teachers have. Another variation you'll find in these 403B or 457 plans is an equity index annuity. Let me just say that these are some of the most convoluted insurance products you'll ever come across. they're aggressively sold by salespeople because there's big upfront commissions, and they're famous for having very long surrender charge schedules. 10 years, I've seen as high as 18 years. So they greatly limit your flexibility with a plan. Obviously, you want to avoid these, but let's say you're at work and this is all you have. What do you do? The first thing you can do is you can go to your human resources department and lobby for a better plan. Some people have gotten Fidelity added. That's hit or miss. You might get some traction. You might not. Best of luck there. Sometimes in these plans, you might have access to a brokerage window. You want to ask about that because that would allow you to get to a brokerage platform at a fee, of course, but at least you could access lower cost plans or ETFs. Sometimes if your plan has a third party administrator, you might be able to access a company known as Aspire Financial. In my last job, I was able to get to Vanguard products for a small fee and a 15 basis points wrapper. It's the best I could do. I've also heard people talk about getting to the NEA Value Builder Direct Invest 403B plan. If you're going to use NEA, you need to use their Direct Invest product, in my opinion, because it's cost effective. Their other products are not. The problem you're going to have, or people are having, is they have these plans, they have astronomical fees, and they ask, well, what should I do? Should I invest in these plans and try to invest at 2% a year? I would say no. I don't like market uncertainty coupled with fee certainty. I would recommend that you do this. If you find an option within your plans that do not have surrender charges, because like I said, I don't want to pay a fee to move my money. It's my money. It's not the company's. I would just park money there, and I just use those plans as savings buckets. I do not invest in those plans, and what I mean is I just put them in a short-term fixed account. As you guys, if you remember my story, I will quit my job so I can move my money when I quit, because separation of service will do that. If you're planning on staying somewhere for a while and you're not going to jump and take another job, you might want to go in the human resource department and say that, you know, what we have here is pathetic and we need a cost-effective option. And I wish the best of luck there. It's very frustrating. It feels like you're moving a mountain sometimes. But by and large, I would say that the 403B and the 457, while they can be useful if you wanted to have double 401k plans, the reality is for most teachers and public service employees, their 403B plans are disgraceful. It is a national disgrace. I'm sorry I don't have a real easy solution to present to you here, but that's the best I can do. You might want to save in a taxable account, but by doing that, you are going to, you know, that money's going to do the tax gauntlet and you're going to be paying tax on that. All right, I'm out. Thank you.
You know, Brad, I was thinking we definitely need to have Millionaire Educator back on this year to talk about filling up your buckets going into 2018 with the new tax laws as they've been laid out.
Yeah, that's a great idea. We'd love to have Ed back on for that. And it's wonderful to have him as one of our in-house experts when we get questions like this on 403Bs and other educator issues. We can just send them over to him. So it's very, very helpful. But agreed, yeah, with the new tax plan, we definitely need to revisit that.
All right, guys. Well, unfortunately, that's going to bring this episode to a close. But as you guys know, if you've been listening to the show and you're all caught up, for the last 2 weeks, we've been doing a drawing for a ticket to Camp Fi Mid-Atlantic. This is a sold-out event, but Steven, the organizer of Camp Fi, actually gave us one ticket to give away on this show. We had 40 people enter the drawing, and we're going to use a randomizer to select the winner. And our winner is Jeff. Jeff is going to be our winner for Camp Fi. And Jeff says, I found the FIRE community by accident during a Google search. This search led me to Mr. Money Mustache, which naturally blew my mind. I quickly became overwhelmed by his blog and decided that he was crazy. I continued on with my search over the next several months, eventually discovering the minimalist movement. Through minimalism, I rediscovered Mr. Money Mustache, but surprisingly, it wasn't as overwhelming. I still could not wrap my mind around all of MMM's concepts, but I really wanted to. At this point, I branched out to looking for other FIRE bloggers. Enter ChooseFI for the win. ChooseFI was the first podcast I had ever listened to. Jonathan and Brad presented similar concepts, but from a less extreme point of view. Their concept of intentional living resonated with me and pushed me onto the path to FI. I have tried other podcasts, but honestly, they don't even come close to Jonathan and Brad. Over the last year, my wife and I have eliminated all consumer debt, reduced our living expenses to $40K, maxed out all of our pre-tax retirement vehicles, started a side business. ChooseFI played a major role in us accomplishing all of these things. Thank you, Jonathan and Brad, and keep up the good work. Jeff, we're so excited that you're a part of our community, and I can't wait to meet you at Campfire. It's going to be a blast. Now, we did have, as I said, 40 reviews this week. And as you guys know, we actually give away a book for every 5 written reviews that we get. So we have a bunch more giveaways. And Brad, why don't you read off the names of the winners?
All right, Jonathan, we have 8 winners, and it's Mike, Remy, Hugo, Stacy, Terrence, Nancy, Adam, and Cameron. And I will reach out to the 8 of you via email this weekend. And yeah, congrats. And thanks again for leaving the reviews. Thank you all for leaving the reviews. It's amazing. Jonathan and I just love reading them. And I think we're almost up to 800 reviews on iTunes, which is truly astounding. And that is one of the best ways you can support us. So thank you very much.
Absolutely, guys. The fire is spreading, my friends. We'll see you next time as we continue to go down the road less traveled.
You've been listening to Choose FI Radio Podcast, where we help middle-class America build wealth one life hack at a time.